Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
Today we're going to talk about how to handle disappointment. And so often we face things that disappoint us, and we must know how we're going to handle disappointment. So today we're going to study a few Bible characters to see how they handle disappointment, and by studying their lives, they should help us to see how we should handle disappointment. So let's get right into it. When you face disappointment, here are the things to do. Turn with me, first of all, to Genesis chapter 40. Genesis chapter 40, and notice a very disappointing event in Joseph's life. Joseph had been imprisoned, and notice verse 23 of Genesis chapter 40. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. What happened? Well, Joseph had been sold into slavery because of his brother's envy. You remember the episode. He'd gone out to check on them. They were with the cattle, and they saw him, and they didn't like him because their father loved him more than he loved them. And so they sold him to the Ishmaelites and took his coat of many colors and dipped it in some blood to make it look like they had found him along the way and that he'd been, you know, destroyed by some evil beast. And the whole problem was they envied him, and they weren't going to tell his father that they had obviously sold him into slavery. Well, when he got to Egypt, he was bought by Potiphar, captain of the guard. He was, and he was a very faithful and loyal slave. And yet, later on, after he'd been with Potiphar a while, he was falsely accused of soliciting Potiphar's wife. Potiphar's wife was the one who was making the advances. And on a particular day when Joseph was in the house by himself, she advanced on him, and he ran. She got his coat and then was able to make up a story that Joseph was beginning to undress as he was soliciting her. And, of course, he ended up in prison. Now, when he was in prison, he continued his faithful service just like he had served Potiphar. He was very faithful, and God blessed him. In Genesis 39, verse 21, the Bible says, "The Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it." So he's like the chief trustee. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. So, you know, it's very successful. He wasn't being paid for what he was doing. And of course, he was in prison, so that wasn't a good thing. And yet he was faithful. Now, he had been there over 10 years when the butler and the baker showed up. And when they showed up, they dreamed dreams in Genesis chapter 40. And Joseph interpreted those dreams. He told them in Genesis 40, verse 8, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you." In other words, he's saying, it's not within me to do this. God interprets the dreams, but tell me, and God will tell me what those dreams mean, and I'll tell you. And so he did that. And, of course, it turned out well for the butler. It did not turn out well for the baker. The butler was brought out of prison 3 days later and restored to his butlership. The baker was taken out 3 days later and killed. And so Joseph had told the butler, after interpreting the dreams, he said this in Genesis chapter 40, verses 14 and 15. He said this, "Listen very carefully. Think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. What's he telling him? Hey, I did you this favor and interpreted the dream, so when you get out, tell Pharaoh about me and find a way to get me out of here. Well, as we saw in our text, Genesis chapter 40, verse 23, the chief butler didn't remember Joseph. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. Genesis 40, verse 23. Boy, you talk about disappointment. Yow, man. You have to know that Joseph thought, man, this is my best opportunity because this is the chief butler. This is the chief baker. Well, of course, the baker didn't turn out well, but the chief butler, he's going to have the ear of the king every day that the king wants wine. And so what better opportunity have I ever been given in the 10 years that I've been here or more to have somebody for whom I've done a favor that can get the ear of the king and get me out of here? Man, you have to know he was excited about his opportunities. But the butler forgot. So day after day, Joseph is waiting for somebody to come down there with the keys to let him out, and nothing happens. And you know something? The Bible tells us in Genesis 41:1, it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. So a full 2 years later, Joseph is still down there in that dungeon, still in that prison, still doing the same thing, and nothing happens. Now, let me ask you a question. You know how he handled that disappointment? You say, well, he scratched on the walls and he went crazy and he beat on the bars and he beat up people in frustration. No. You know how he handled it? He just kept on doing the same thing he'd always been doing. He kept doing good. And you know what you need to do when you face disappointment? You need to keep doing good. You say, yeah, but I don't want to. I'm upset. I know. So was Joseph. But, you know, Joseph was notable. Joseph was a standout because when he worked for Potiphar, you know what? Potiphar did not regard anything that was under his own hand. He left Joseph in charge of everything. And you know what the keeper of the prison did? He said, this is the main guy right here. And he left everything in Joseph's hand. And you know what? Those two things spoke well for Joseph because you have to do well in administering for somebody else. Joseph learned in those 13 years a lot of things about handling all kinds of problems, all kinds of people, all kinds of situations, and proved himself to be a very responsible person. You know what that did? That set him up. That set him up for what was coming. So in other words, Joseph just handled the bad situation by doing the same good things he had been doing before. And that's what you should do. When you are disappointed, what? You didn't get the raise. You didn't get the promotion. Somebody else did. You didn't get the job. You didn't get the class you were hoping for. And all those other kinds of disappointing things that you're hoping would come your way. You know what? You just keep doing the same good things that you have always done. That's what you do. That's what Joseph did. Just keep doing good. Now, when you face disappointment, not only do you keep doing good, but look, know this. There is something better. Know that. There is something better. Genesis chapter 41, you know what happened. Pharaoh ended up having a dream of kine and of ears of corn. 7 fat kine eaten by 7 skinny kine, 7 fat ears of corn that are blasted, eaten by 7 thin ears blasted with the east wind. And nobody could interpret the dreams. And then the chief butler in verse 9, Genesis 41:9, spake unto Pharaoh as saying, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants and put me in ward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream in one night, I and he. We dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was there with us a young man, an Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams, to each man according to his dream he did interpret. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. Now, This is really something. This is really something. You see, if Joseph had been released 2 years earlier, when he wanted out, he would have returned to slave status. He went in as a slave, and although he was a great hand, he was still a slave. He would have come out the same way that he went in, and he probably would have enjoyed, if not in Potiphar's house, somebody else's house, the same great status of being the chief steward, but pay. Don't have to pay. Free help. But because of the delay, when he came out, he was able to interpret Pharaoh's dreams, as you know. That's the rest of Genesis chapter 41. And then he is able to make a recommendation to Pharaoh what to do about those dreams. I mean, Joseph had been running things for 13 years. He said, now what you need to do is you need to gather up all the food out of the land for the in the 7 years of plenty, and then you'll have plenty of food when the famine comes. And I recommend that you put somebody in charge of gathering up these crops and administering these crops. And in verse 37 of Genesis 41, the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath showed thee all this, there's none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. What chance did this Hebrew slave have of ever being promoted to the second ruler of the country? I mean, in terms of Trinity, we're talking like God the Father and God the Son. This is an amazing thing. You see, the Pharaoh that promoted him was different than the one who had been there 2 years earlier. The chief butler is recounting the story, and he says Pharaoh was wroth with his servants. And then in verse 13, he says, it came to pass as he interpreted to us, so it was me, he, that is Pharaoh, restored unto mine office, and him, that is the baker, he hanged. In other words, he's telling this Pharaoh about what happened under another Pharaoh 2 years before. So God set it up that he got the right Pharaoh on the throne who would promote Joseph to this status. And you talk about enjoying great personal benefit. Joseph was able to marry. He had two sons. He's the second ruler in the kingdom. You can read in Psalms that nothing happened in that country without Joseph's approval. It was just unbelievable how powerful he was. So not only did he enjoy great personal benefit, but he also saved his own family from famine. And none of this would have been possible if Joseph had gotten his way earlier. So you need to remember something. When you face disappointment, remember, as hard as it may seem, this gives God opportunity to provide you with a better outcome. That's right. When you face disappointment, it gives God opportunity to provide you with a better outcome. So, when you face disappointment, number one, keep doing good. And number two, know that there's something better. All right, that's not all. Turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4, this is during Elisha's prophecy, the time of his prophecy. And he travels, and when he's traveling, he ends up going through a place called Shunem. Shunem, S-H-U-N-E-M. He goes through Shunem, and there's a woman there whose house is on the wall, and she said, you know, to her husband, she says, we need to prepare a place for this prophet. And so they did. From then on, this place that she sets up here has been known in churches as a prophet's chamber. In other words, when visiting preachers come, a lot of times churches have a place where the preacher or the preacher and his family can stay during the meeting, like missionaries and sometimes visiting preachers get to enjoy. They call it the prophet's chamber, and it comes from 2 Kings chapter 4. She says to her husband in verse 10, let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick, and it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. That's his prophet's chamber. Now this woman didn't have a child. And when she took care of Elisha, Elisha said, "What can I do for you?" And she said, "Basically nothing." Well, Elisha's servant, Gehazi, said to him, "Well, you know what? She doesn't have a child." And so Elisha worked it out where this woman was blessed with a son when she had given up all hope of ever conceiving. Boy, you talk about joy. The Bible tells us that the barren womb is one of the four things that's never satisfied. Well, she was satisfied with a son. And then when the child was grown, he died. Oh, how sad. 2 Kings 4, verse 18, "The woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her according to the time of life." That's verse 17. And then verse 18, "When the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers, and he said unto his father, 'My head, my head.' And he said to a lad, 'Carry him to his mother.' And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, 'Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again.' He said, 'Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It's neither new moon nor Sabbath.' And she said, 'It shall be well.' Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, 'Drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee.'" In other words, go as fast as you can. "So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi, his servant, 'Behold, yonder is the Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child?' And she said, 'It is well.'" Well, it wasn't well, but that's what she said. So, here's the thing. She was crushed. She was absolutely crushed. And yet, instead of crying out in despair and complaining, she said simply, "It is well." Wow, that's amazing. You see what she did? She maintained an attitude through her sad disappointment that prevented her from fretting against God. You see, when you face disappointment, you're mad. You want somebody to pay. You want to complain to somebody who can do something about the problem. But oftentimes, nobody can. It's just the way it works out. It's the system. Maybe it's something with the government. Maybe it's something with your employer. Maybe it's something with your health. Maybe it's something with the doctor. And it just doesn't change. And you want it to change. And you cry out to say, people say, "Well, how's it going?" You say, "It's not well. I'm really upset. Things aren't going well at all." You know what she said? "It's well." So when you face disappointment, remember to keep trusting God and say, "It is well." You say, "Why should I say that?" "Because it is well." You say, "Yeah, but it doesn't seem like that right now." No, not right now, but it will be. It will be. "It is well." So what do? Well, you do what this woman did. When you face disappointment, like Joseph, keep doing good. Know there's something better. Like this woman, say "it is well," and then this: draw close to God's man. You see, when she came to explain to him there had been a problem, she simply says to him in verse 28, "Did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, 'Do not deceive me'?" That's all she said. She didn't go into anything else. Elisha figured it out. He said to Gehazi, "You go and take my staff in thine hand. Go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. If any man salute thee, answer him not again, and lay my staff upon the face of the child." He's sending Gehazi to try to raise that child. Look what the woman said. In 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 30, the mother of the child said, "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." And he arose and followed her. You know what she did? She drew close to God's man. You see, when Gehazi went to try to raise the child, the woman didn't run after Gehazi. She didn't get back on the ass and go with her servant. She said to Elisha, I will not leave thee. She didn't run from the prophet. Likewise, when you face disappointment, don't run from the preaching of God's word. Stay in church. Stay with God's people. I have met many people who've gotten bitter and have gotten cold toward God when something goes wrong. Listen, when that happens, you are defeated until you die. By staying close to Elisha, you know what she was able to do? She received her son alive. Elisha returns, walks into the house in verse 35, and he stretches himself upon the child. And the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes, and he called Gehazi and said, "Call this Shunammite." So he called her, and when she was come in unto him, he said, "Take up thy son." Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. Now, are you saying to me right now, are you saying if I've lost a child that I can just simply stay in church and God's going to give me the child back? Listen. Do you understand that when a child dies, he is safe until he's accountable for his sin? Jesus Christ said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." If for some reason you have suffered bitter disappointment in your life because you've lost a child like she did, but this child had not yet reached an accountability for his sin. In other words, he was young when he died, and God doesn't hold him responsible for sin. You know what you're going to do? You're going to see that child in heaven, for of such is the kingdom of God. You say, "Well, he wasn't baptized." Doesn't make any difference. Jesus didn't say, "Suffer the little children who have been baptized." There's no infant baptism in the Bible. That's church doctrine, not Bible doctrine. You will see that child in heaven again. He will be raised to live eternally because he was safe. God never charged him with his sins. But listen, if your child got to the age where he was accountable or she was accountable for his sins or her sins, and they got saved by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, you're going to see that child again when we are raised at the rapture. You see, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise. You see that? That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16, 17, and 18. Now listen how he words it. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. But that's not the end of it. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. If the Lord is to come in your lifetime, and you have had a loved one that's been buried, that loved one who is saved is going to rise. You're going to change and meet them in the air, and you'll forever be with the Lord. You know what? It's the same thing as this woman here. You will receive your child alive again. So don't run from God. Don't do what others have done and become bitter and cold toward God. It'll just ruin you. Draw close to God's man. When you face disappointment, keep doing good. Know there's something better. Say it's well. Draw close to God's man. And then this, 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Encourage yourself in the Lord. David and his men were fighting with the Philistines and getting ready to fight against Israel. They were run off by the Philistine soldiers who told Achish, "Hey, this is not going to work." When they got back to their town, Ziklag, David and his men were horribly discouraged. Why? Because their city was burned. Their possessions were stolen. Their families were taken captive by the Amalekites. All the men who had been so loyal to David were so distressed, so distraught, that they spoke of stoning David. And instead of despairing, you know what David did in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6? He encouraged himself in the Lord his God. You should do the same thing when you're discouraged. Get with God and get into your Bible. Pray and seek the Lord. He will encourage you and lift your spirit so that you can go on. David and his men, after they got over this instant shock, took off after the Amalekites, and they defeated them and recovered all of their possessions and recovered everyone who had been taken captive. And you say, well, yeah, but they couldn't return back to their city of Ziklag. It had been burnt. Doesn't make any difference. They didn't need Ziklag anymore. Why? They were heading to Hebron, where David was made king over Israel. Listen, encourage yourself in the Lord. That's right. Get in the Bible, get on your knees, and get with God. And then let me show you a last couple of things. 2 Kings chapter 5. What do you do? What do you do when you get disappointed? Well, in 2 Kings chapter 5, you can read about it. Naaman is the captain of the host of the Syrians. He's got leprosy. A little Israel maid said, I wish you would go to the prophet in Israel. He would recover you of your leprosy. So he goes to him in a big fanfare. And Elisha doesn't even come out. He sends his servant out and says, go dip in the river Jordan 7 times and you'll be clean. Boy, Naaman was mad. When you are disappointed, when you face disappointment, listen, don't go off in a rage. Naaman the leper was offended when Elisha's servant told him to go dip in the Jordan River. He was disappointed because this instruction was not what he expected. Unfulfilled expectations will disappoint you, but don't go off in a rage. Naaman's anger didn't do anything to improve his circumstances, and neither will yours. You can fuss and fight all you want, but it will not change your predicament. You're wasting your time and your energy. You are upsetting a lot of your friends. So what did Naaman eventually do? In verse 14, he went into the Jordan River. He did what the man told him to do. His flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. You know what you need to do? Remain obedient and humble and do what God says. Be sure of this. He's not going to do it your way. He's going to do it his way, and he's going to do it in his time. But if you'll remain obedient and remain humble, God can take care of you. And he will. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.